How often have you heard and possibly bristled at the phrase flyover state or flyover country? Here in the middle of the United States, we hear that term a lot, as if the people in the middle don't contribute to the national conversation in any way. And that is wrong, and a new show aims to rectify that. It is called The Middle, and it is hosted by longtime NPR voice Jeremy Hobson. He was on Hear It Now and a Marketplace Morning Report. He spent years producing All Things Considered and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He got his start at the tender age of 9 years old, contributing to Treehouse Radio, and he is glad to be back on the air with a show called The Middle. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Ashley, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
How do you describe The Middle?
So, you know, when we did four pilot episodes last year around the midterm elections of The Middle, the idea at the beginning was the geographic middle. Basically, anything that wasn't on the coast, or even going further than that, anything that wasn't in the coastal bubble cities of New York, Washington, Boston, Los Angeles, San Francisco, let's say. So all the other people in the country that are not on the news 24 hours a day. And I used to say to my team last year, you know, we're talking everything from Sacramento, California, all the way out to like Richmond, Virginia. Okay. So really broadening the definition of the middle.
Okay.
But what happened when we did those pilots is a lot of people heard the middle and they said, oh, I thought you meant the political middle, or I thought you meant the philosophical middle, or what about meeting in the middle? And so what we decided as we went forward into sort of middle 2.0, which is where we are now and what we're launching this week, is like the middle is the geographic middle. Certainly, it's also the political middle. It's the philosophical middle. It's meeting in the middle. It's the middle class. It's all kinds of important voices in this country that are not heard from enough in our media.
And ProPublica listeners will be able to hear those voices. In fact, Jeremy, instead of hearing Main Street on Fridays from 2 to 3 Mountain, 3 to 4 Central, our listeners will instead get to hear The Middle. And you can go online, learn more about the show at listentothemiddle.com. Jeremy, I want to ask you then, what's in it for the listeners besides just this idea of, hey, we weren't heard that much before? Elaborate a little bit more for us.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we're saying, because this show is going to be on at least 360 public radio stations across the country, including a lot of the coastal cities as well. And what we've been saying as we've been launching the program is, look, if you really want to know what's going on in this country heading into the 2024 election, you have to listen to the middle. You have to listen to the geographic middle, people in places like Wisconsin and Michigan and Arizona, for that matter, and Georgia, who end up deciding who is in power and what gets done. And you have to listen to the political middle as well. If you look back to what just happened with the debt ceiling fight in Congress earlier in the summer, when there was a question of whether Congress was going to raise the debt ceiling so that the U.S. didn't default on its debt, the far left voted against that, the far right voted against that, but the middle pushed it through. And so I think having those voices in our national conversation on a regular, and in this case, a weekly basis, is what I want to do with this. And that's what's in it for the listener, is being able to actually hear from the people who are making a lot of the decisions in this country.
As you were producing these pilot episodes, you mentioned a little the scope of the project changed as your understanding increased. But did anything surprise you?
You know, I was surprised by the amount of people that called in. The show was live a year ago at 9 p.m. Eastern time. It will be live again this year at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And I will tell your listeners, because I know you're going to be running it on Friday afternoons, that they can still call in to 844-4-MIDDLE, 844-464-3353. Leave a message and maybe we'll be able to call back out during the show, because I would love to hear from Prairie Public listeners on the show. But what surprised me was we were getting 200 calls an hour. There was a hunger from people across the country to be heard, to be part of the conversation. Keep in mind, from a national perspective, there is not another show on public radio right now that takes live calls. There just isn't. And so this is going to be one place where listeners can go. There hasn't been since Talk of the Nation, really.
Right.
A couple of other shows did it for a brief period of time, but they don't anymore. So this is, you know, it's risky. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I want to, without getting too inside baseball on radio production, I do want to know why you felt it was so important to do live call-in radio.
I think that live radio is really great. I fell in love with radio as a kid listening in Central Illinois, and I felt like I had a friend on the other end. And you know, frankly, I would call in all the time to request songs on the local oldies station. I would call in and win pizzas at 10 o'clock at night when I was like 8 years old. So I enjoyed the fact that there was somebody who was talking to me and that I could reach back out to them. So I think that's important. The other piece of it is, though, with the live calls, I like the unpredictability of it. I think that there's something exciting about listening to a live program that's not been, you know, manicured and produced a lot, which many shows that people listen to are. Especially on NPR. Yeah. And I think that it's going to be something immediately different about that live aspect.
Well, let's talk about you as a host. What is it that you like about that? Because I'm a radio host and everything you just said made my stomach a little bit anxious. I would not want to host a live national call-in show that really dives deep into politics. I agree, you know, it's needed. I'm not the person for it. What do you bring to the table?
I've done a lot of live in my career, you know, at Here and Now. I would say I did something like 2,000 interviews a year, and about a third of them were live on the air. About a third of that show, at least when I was there, was live, and about a third of it was taped the morning of, and about a third of it was taped previously. Because, you know, if you're going to book like some huge celebrity, you're not going to get them live on the air. You're going to record it 2 days before or whatever and produce a nice piece. So I did a lot of coverage, live coverage of major news events for NPR, special coverage. And that, you know, I find it very exciting. I like it a lot. The thing that is making my stomach churn right now is the technicals. Because now that I'm host and executive producer, I have to make sure that all the connections, I mean, I have a team, a great team at Illinois Public Media that's going to get all that done. But at the end of the day, it's on me. I've got to make sure that our connections work with our guests, if they're not in the studio with me, that our call-in system works, that all that stuff works. I think once we get a few shows under our belt, I'll feel a little more relieved about that. But right now, that's what's stressing me out, is the stuff that, you know, I can't necessarily control.
We are visiting today with Jeremy Hobson. He is the host of The Middle, which starting this Friday is coming to Prairie Public's airwaves. It will be on during the Main Street Hour, so 3 to 4 Central, 2 to 3 Mountain, again on Fridays here on Prairie Public. The show, you can find out more about it at listentothemiddle.com. Jeremy, I want to talk to you about the art of a political interview and more specifically a political call-in show, because most people don't have a lot of experience public speaking. They have trouble getting to the point. You need to be able to listen, but also know when to cut somebody off. Walk us through a little bit that process of how to kind of coach callers, but also your guests into being able to stay on point when you have topics as broad ranging as Medicare to reproductive health.
Right. Yes. I mean, it's a very good question. One thing that we have is we have some phenomenal call screeners that are going to answer the phones when people call and talk to people and see, you know, who should be put forward onto the program. Another thing we have that you probably have used in your life is it's called the dump button, which is there's a delay on the show. And so if somebody starts swearing or something like that, you can dump that part of the conversation and you get 8 seconds to do it. And hopefully then that makes it so you don't get an FCC violation. But I think the other thing is, look, there is some unpredictability to it and we'll have to see how that goes. I have always found that, you know, when I started doing the pilots last year, the first episode, I think I was very worried about exactly what you're saying. I didn't want to have somebody drone on for a long time. And so I think I cut people off actually too soon. I didn't get into a conversation with the callers because I was worried. I was like, okay, we got the point. Let's move on to the panel now because I have a little more control over that. Mm-hmm. But as I went along, I was like, no, you know what? The show is about these callers. We've got to let them get into conversation. And so as we got to episodes 3 and 4 of the pilots, I feel like I was more comfortable actually letting people have a back and forth with me, with our panel guests, because that's what the show's all about.
Walk us through the structure of the show. Callers, panelists, what should listeners expect?
Yeah, so it is, you know, it is a live call-in show, but also it's done kind of in the style, because it's on in the evening live, of a late night talk show. I have a DJ sidekick, a guy named Tolliver, who was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, a funk musician. He's a really amazing guy, and he's going to be there with us in every program, playing music into the breaks, but also being a part of the conversation. And then we'll have two panel guests on each show. The first show this week is going to feature the former Illinois Republican governor, Jim Edgar, who was a governor in the 90s, was like a kind of a moderate Republican having to work in a pretty blue state. And then we'll also have an expert on conflict resolution from Northwestern University, because our topic is going to be, in a divided country, how do you talk to people that you disagree with?
Those are some awfully big topics. Again, we're visiting with Jeremy Hobson, the host of The Middle. It is launching on Prairie Public this Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central. Jeremy, I'm interested in this structure of the show because for so long, and it seems like, at least according to the national portrayal, that politics in this country getting increasingly divisive. What is your approach or maybe even your pie in the sky end game here for how to have civil discourse when it's something that people get very emotional about?
Yeah. And I think one thing I would say is, when in the history of the world, when you have a disagreement between two parties, is the best thing to just not talk to or listen to each other. Hmm. You have to be able to have conversation. And that's one thing I'm really trying to do, is like, let's have a place for civil conversation where people can disagree and do so in a civil way, do so in a respectful way. We want a non-judgmental, non-condescending space where people feel like they can take part. One call that we had in our pilot episodes that I just really sticks with me is, we did a segment about what's an area where you disagree with the political party that you affiliate with. Mm-hmm. This was leading into the midterms, and which puts every caller in a kind of an interesting place because they've got to go against their own team. And a woman called in and said, you know, I am a lifelong Democrat, but I don't agree with trans women being able to go into women's bathrooms. And I feel like every time I raise that concern, I'm treated like a bigot and shut down, and I get pushed off social media sites. And our panel guest said, you know, this is exactly the kind of awkward conversation that we have to have in this country, because there's no way we're going to move forward on some of these issues that become divisive if we can't talk about them.
At the risk of this getting a little philosophical, why do you think people get so emotional when it comes to a political belief?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I don't know that I have the answer to that. But I don't feel like it's always been that way to the degree that it is right now. I think, you know, the last several years has definitely ratcheted up the heat in politics in this country. But at the end of the day, most people are not watching Fox News or MSNBC or paying attention to every little political story that's going on. They're just living their lives, and they are making decisions based on what matters to them economically, what matters to them on other issues. Like, we've seen abortion obviously has turned a ton of people out to the polls in the last couple of elections. And I think that's the thing, is like, let's just get back to the people and hear from people that are not part of the sort of beltway echo chamber in Washington.
Hmm. Are there any topics that you don't want to touch?
No, I want to touch them all. but I'm sure I'm going to get in trouble for touching some of them, but yes, I want to get to a lot of different topics. Look, we're going to do 48 new episodes a year. So if people have topic ideas, please go to listentothemiddle.com and let us know, because we would love to take on different topics.
Now, I know in some of the early episodes, you were bouncing around to different cities. Is that a plan moving forward for the live shows?
We are going to be once a month on the road in a different place doing a live show. So we're going to start this week in Urbana, Illinois, my hometown. We'll all be there. We'll do the show from there. A month later, we'll be live in Nashville, Tennessee, at Vanderbilt University in front of an audience. We're figuring out later road shows. I think Las Vegas will probably happen. Jacksonville, Florida. I think we're looking at that as well. And Boise, Idaho. But we want to get around the country at least once a month leading up to the election.
That's an expensive endeavor.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the process of launching a new show on a national service.
Yeah, it is. And that is one of the things that I've been working on for the last year since we did our pilot episodes, is going out and fundraising. And we've been talking to foundations. We do have a podcasting deal with iHeartMedia, which is going to allow the shows to air first on public radio, but then they will distribute the podcast version of it. So that brings in some money that will be needed to do this. But, you know, we're also relying on the generosity, and I'm not saying they're giving things to us for free per se, but they're charging us a lot less than they would, of public radio stations. Illinois Public Media is going to be our broadcast partner for all of the programs. Nashville Public Radio has also been a partner of ours as we've gotten this thing started. So we're going out, we're looking for funding. You know, we've set up a process with an organization called Journalism Funding Partners that allows donations from individuals to come in on our website, listentothemiddle.com. We'll see how that goes. It's a very inexpensive show, as shows go right now, and that makes sense because it is basically an independent production.
You mentioned that it will air on public radio stations first and then be a podcast. Will there be differences between the broadcast and podcast versions of The Middle?
Only that this is getting way into the weeds, but, you know, on public radio stations, you can play pretty much any music that you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And on podcasts, you can't because of the rights. And so we have to pull out some music because our DJ is going to play some music in the program. We're going to have to pull that out for the podcast. But for the most part, the podcast will be the same.
So it's not like extended content for podcast listeners.
Not right now, but that's a great idea. Maybe we can make money on extended content. You want to hear more, pay now.
Who would be a dream guest for you, Jeremy, for on your panel?
That is a very good question. You know, I don't know about a single dream guest, but I will say that, you know, we're going after some people that I think would be really interesting to have take calls from ordinary Americans. We're trying to get Liz Cheney later this year. I would like to get guests on there that are not just politicians and journalists too. I would love to get some musicians on there. I'd love to get maybe a comedian or an actor to join the panel, and just like, or a teacher. I think we can really have fun with who the guests will be. I have to think about that. So this is the thing. You just asked me, this is like the question a lot of people ask me. It's like, who's the best person you've ever interviewed in your life? It's always very hard to think about that.
Right. Yeah. But why those people that came to your mind, that you wanted musicians, that you wanted maybe educators, what, you know, on a gut level, is making you go in that direction? What will they do to enhance this national conversation?
Well, first of all, I want the show to be fun to listen to. I think that, you know, as a journalist for decades now, the three things on the radio specifically, the three things that I think about when I am putting a story together are, you've got to be factual, you've got to be fair, and you've got to be fascinating, meaning you've got to make sure your facts are right, because if anything is wrong, nobody's going to listen to another word you have to say. You've got to be fair. I think that's your duty as a journalist, to make sure that you're thinking about things from different perspectives. And you've got to be fascinating, because if you do the most factual, fair story, but it's not interesting to listen to, people will simply switch the channel and they won't listen to anymore. So I want this to be a fun show to listen to, a place that people feel like, I want to spend an hour of my time every week listening to this program. The other thing is, I think that it's not just the people who are deeply enmeshed in politics that should have a right to speak about politics in this country. We all have one vote. So let's bring in some other voices into the conversation.
Jeremy, I listened to a couple of the early, the pilot and the testing episodes, and I felt like a lot of the calls raised issues that are sort of broadly put into the category of things that progressives want to talk about. And I wonder, do you think that that means that the middle of the country is less conservative than the national media portrays, or do you think that public radio isn't reaching as many conservatives as it used to?
Yes and yes. I think that the middle of the country is not the caricature that is made out by some people in the media and on the coasts. I think we all you have to look at is Kansas and the abortion vote that happened last year. And then, by the way, the vote in Ohio this year, like there have been votes that have shown people that the middle is not as red conservative as people think it is. But also, I think that NPR listeners just by themselves probably have gotten a little more liberal over the course of time. The thing about this show, though, that I think will be really great is that because of the iHeart podcast, we're going to have an iHeart podcast audience mixing with the public radio audience, which I do think will make it, which it didn't exist in the pilot episodes, but will now, which I do think will make it a little more of a broad spectrum of people.
Jeremy Hobson is the host of The Middle. It is coming to Prairie Public this Friday at 3 o'clock Central, airing during the Main Street Hour. Jeremy, just a last couple of minutes here. I want to talk about Treehouse Radio. What is this? And how, as a 9-year-old, were you making stuff for radio?
So, you know, like I said, I was obsessed with radio as a kid, and I was listening to this oldie station. And then when I was 9 years old in my third or fourth grade class, a woman named Sherry Lynn, a producer at the local public radio station, which, by the way, happens to be the station that we're going to launch The Middle from, Illinois Public Media, came in and asked if we would participate and write radio plays. And so I did, and ours got selected. And then I got brought in occasionally to host Treehouse Radio, which was a show for kids by kids that aired like on Sunday afternoons on Illinois Public Media. And then as I got into high school, I started producing radio documentaries through another collaboration between one of my high school like social studies class and the public radio station. We produced oral history projects that aired on public radio, and sort of the rest is history. I mean, I really just love doing it. I love talking to people.
Jeremy Hobson, host of The Middle. Tune in at 3 to 4 p.m. Central on Fridays and find out more at listentothemiddle.com. Jeremy, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.